Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Let's have fun and we're working, baby. That's it, man.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hello, welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio in this Christmas edition. We're heading up the second hour, and let's go right to Caroline Fenton of Yahoo Sports and Sirius XM Radio.
Okay, Luke, so now, you know, you get, this is your, as you've been producer now for over a month of Tiger Rag Radio, you get your first experience of the Caroline Fenton experience. And this is going to be something for you to remember, okay? Because she is not only really smart and really on top of what's going on at LSU and in the SEC and actually the nation as a whole, but she's really good at what she does. So, Caroline, are you there?
I am here. I appreciate that you're setting the bar probably way too high than I deserve, but I appreciate all of your kind words.
Well,
I've told people, whenever I meet new people, welcome to the Caroline Fenton experience. I will adopt that.
Well, there you
if
go.
If you don't mind, I'll give you credit.
Well, good. Do that. I look forward to hearing that credit. I thrive on credit. So,
don't we all?
So, speaking of the experiences and raising the bar, there's a gentleman named Lane Kiffin who has really excited and energized LSU football, and God knows it needed some energizing after its last experience, if you will. But what have you thought about how Lane Kiffin has just really bulleted in here on his train and what he's done in his first 30 days, actually, still within that first 30 days?
Yes, a gentleman named Lane Kiffin. I think I've heard of him. I have been blown away. And look, it was a slam dunk home run hire when they made it. There was no better coach on the market. Any coach that would have been a better hire than Lane Kiffin wasn't going to leave their respective place, right? Dan Lanning wasn't leaving Oregon. Marcus Freeman wasn't leaving Notre Dame. So if any coach that was potentially out there in the market, Lane Kiffin was the coach, and LSU got him. So home run A-plus hire right now. Now, how will we feel about that hire in a year from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now? Time will tell how good of a hire this actually is. But right now, so far, so good. You look at the way that he's embraced the culture of LSU football. He's incredibly active on Twitter, but a lot of his tweets have been, you know, the mecca of college football, the cathedral of college football. There's no better place than this. I think that was one reason why a lot of LSU fans had such a bad taste in their mouth about Brian Kelly. It wasn't just the fact that he wasn't from Louisiana or didn't have experience in the SEC. I don't think that's a prerequisite for being successful at LSU, but his issue was he wasn't embracing what makes LSU football different and special, what makes it one of the best jobs in the country. So I think first and foremost, just the foundation and basis of Lane Kiffin being excited about this job, being at LSU, enjoying everything that's afforded to you in one of the greatest jobs in the country, I think has been incredibly impressive. Then you also look at the staff that he's assembling with Kevin Smith, one of the most highly regarded running back coaches in the country. Of course, that means Frank Wilson is out the door, and I do think that that could potentially rear its ugly head in terms of recruiting in New Orleans, but you do bring in Kevin Smith, a guy that has a very strong relationship with Kawan Lingsey, a guy that's building a strong relationship with Harlan Berry and Caden Durham. You see that he's bringing in Sterling Lucas, the defense bench coach from South Carolina. Could that potentially mean that Dylan Stewart, one of the best defensive players in the SEC, is headed to LSU? It very well could be. You're looking at the staff that he's assembling. You're looking at the culture that he is rebuilding. You're looking at the excitement throughout the entire fan base. so far the first 30 days, it's early. You still got a whole lot of games to win, and he still has a lot to prove, not just at LSU, but as a coach as a whole, winning the big games, getting to the college football playoff, winning a national championship. He still has a lot left to prove. But in this first 30 days, I don't know how it could be better.
Well, Caroline, let's extend it to this first year, 2026. I mean, obviously, all the things that you said about what Lane Kiffin, who Lane Kiffin is, and what he's been able to accomplish in his first within his first 30 days here at LSU are great. But you know, is he going to be able to, in your opinion, win in his first year? Because we all know that that he doesn't have 4 years to build a program the way coaches did traditionally up until 4 or 5 years ago. He's got to turn it around quick. Can he do that?
Nobody has 4 years anymore. That's not just a specific to Lane Kiffin and LSU thing. Can he win in his first year? I think if you're expecting national championship or bust in year one, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to be hard for Lane Kiffin or any first-year head coach to win a national championship. But look what Chris Cignetti has done in 2 years at Indiana. Like, that's the new bar. So I do think that Lane Kiffin can be successful in year one at LSU. And one big reason for that is because Lane Kiffin has a wonderful track record of recruiting through the portal. How do you microwave success? How do you have success overnight in today's college football? It's utilizing the transfer portal and not just getting in big names, but finding the right guys that fit your scheme, fit your program, guys that are going to be unselfish, not worried about the amount of money that's being thrown around in NIL. You look at Ole Miss in 2024, the number one transfer portal class in the country. That didn't turn into a college football playoff bid, which was a disappointment in Oxford, Mississippi, no doubt. And I think that should be a reason for skepticism about Lane Kiffin. What's his ceiling? Can he continue to win the big games? So you can win, you can go 10-2, win 10, 11 games every single season. But if you're not winning a national championship, you're not being successful at LSU. So that's still what Lane Kiffin has to prove. But you look at LSU's schedule, it's not easy. Like, there's not very many gimmies on the schedule when you open up the season with Clemson, when you go to Oxford, Mississippi. You have Texas A&M. You have Alabama, Texas, at Tennessee. Those are not easy games, and those are not easy places to play. So I think that there needs to be a little bit of grace there, a little bit of a feeling out period there whenever you don't have, you know, one of those easy cupcake games week one to kind of figure things out. But with Lane Kiffin's track record in the transfer portal and with the amount of players, amount of buzz that has kind of been surrounding a lot of players at Ole Miss that could potentially enter the transfer portal and follow Lane Kiffin to LSU, you are going to get guys with experience, and you're going to get guys with a pre-existing relationship with Lane Kiffin and a coach that knows how to use them. So I wouldn't expect a national championship. Let's bump the brakes on that. But can Lane Kiffin go 10-2 and go to the college football playoff in year one with LSU's resources? I say, why not?
Well, when the transfer portal opens on January 2nd, you know, you mentioned Kiffin's success as being the guru of the transfer portal. What do you think are the most important positions that he has to succeed in that transfer portal this year to help LSU achieve a college football playoff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it starts in the offensive line. You know, protection was such a huge problem this past year. I don't think that Garrett Nussmeier's regression year over year was due to Garrett Nussmeier forgetting how to play football all of a sudden. I don't think that LSU's difficulty running the football came from having a lack of talent at that position. We've seen Harlan Berry. We've seen Caden Durham. We know how much talent they had at those positions. Your offensive line is the backbone of everything that you want to do offensively. So I think that's one, should be one priority in the transfer portal, is finding size and finding experience. That's a position that's really difficult to find, though, in the transfer portal. Guys that have experience, especially having high-level experience, either in the Big Ten or the SEC, those are guys that don't transfer very often. More often, you see offensive linemen in the portal because they don't get opportunities at their starting spot. So I think that should be priority number one. I also think bolstering up the defensive line. Bolstering up both lines of scrimmage in general. That's how you win and lose football games in the SEC. So with the lack of talent that LSU had this past year, or the talent they have leaving for the NFL draft, or, you know, into the transfer portal, or just lack, you know, running out of eligibility, I think the lines of scrimmage should be the first priority for Lane Kiffin.
What you mentioned earlier, the September 19th game at Ole Miss. You know, the LSU Ole Miss.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the LSU Ole Miss rivalry has really been somewhat lacking over the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, if not more. Do you think those days are over and it's back to the most rabid rivalry in the conference now?
Oh, I think it's back to maybe being one of the most rabid rivalries in sports, period. I mean, it's, of course, you have the LSU-Ole Miss rivalry, but like you said, for so many years, it was dominated by LSU. It didn't feel like much of a rivalry. And then in the Lane Kiffin years, the game went back and forth. Nearly LSU wins one, LSU loses one, so on and so forth. So that kind of reignited the rivalry, the fact that it was a competitive game year over year. And then now, I mean, you have the Ole Miss coach leaving before the college football playoff to go to LSU. I mean, that's one of the juiciest rivalries that you could ever dream of. So I will be in the house in Oxford, Mississippi for that game because I would not miss it for anything. And I know that every grocery store in Oxford, Mississippi is going to be stocked up with plenty of bottles of French's mustard, ready to hurl it at Lane Kiffin's head whenever they get the opportunity.
Do you believe that Trinidad Chambliss, if he gets his additional year of eligibility that he's applied for, and that Kewan Lacy, the Ole Miss running back, do you think they will follow Lane Kiffin and his staff to LSU, offensive staff to LSU?
I do think Trinidad Chambliss will. And, of course, like you said, it's all dependent on that NCAA waiver. I do think Trinidad Chambliss will because why do we know who Trinidad Chambliss is? Going from a D2 guy that nobody had ever heard of to now being a household name in college football was because of Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. So I do think there's a good chance that Trinidad Chambliss ends up at LSU, and that's a position that's wide open at LSU. It's not a position that he's going to have to compete for in camp. Now, Kewan Lacy is the interesting one. I would not be surprised to see Kewan Lacy stay at Ole Miss. It's been reported that he had an NIL deal of around $2 million to stay in Oxford, Mississippi. So is LSU going to be willing to surpass that, give him a $2 million NIL deal plus? Well, how do you justify that with Harlan Berry and Caden Durham? And maybe that's not Lane Kiffin's priority. Maybe his priority is Kewan Lacy over those running backs that are already in the running back room. I think it'd be a really hard sell to tell guys that were committed to LSU, guys that have been at LSU, to say, hey, we're going to spend $2 million on this running back, and you're now going to have to compete for this job, and you're going to be getting paid significantly less. That's, I think, a little bit of a sticky situation. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if LSU missed out on Kewan Lacy, but obviously that's Lane Kiffin's guy. You know, if you watch Lane Kiffin's interview on the Pat McAfee show, he brought in Kewan Lacy and bragged on him how much he admired him as a player and as a person and as a student. So maybe that's Lane Kiffin's priority over keeping guys that are currently in LSU's locker room. So I would feel better about the path for Trinidad Chambliss coming to LSU more than I would about Kewan Lacy because that is a crowded running back room already.
Caroline, we've got less than 2 minutes in this segment, but we've got to take a break after that, and I'd like to bring you back for a special segment, if you will, after our commercial break. But let's switch gears to women's basketball because I know you're a big follower of women's basketball on the national scale and, of course, of LSU. My big question is LSU looks awesome right now, and they're ranked in the top five. The net has had them as high as number one this year. I don't believe they're there right now, but is LSU for real, or are they just a product right now? Of course, unbeaten and scoring points like they're going out of style, but is that just because of who they're playing, and will they be able to compete in the SEC, and will they be able to compete on the national level?
It's a great question, and one that I actually just talked about. I host a women's basketball podcast in Yahoo Sports called Hoops 360. We did a segment of are you what your record says you are? Because early in the season, before we get to conference play, sometimes your record can be a fallacy. And so we kind of deep dove into, okay, are teams that aren't in the top 25 or maybe below 500, are they not a very good basketball team, or are they just playing a really difficult schedule? I look at Duke, for example, a team that's underachieved based off of expectation, but has been playing a really difficult schedule. LSU is what their record says they are. They destroyed Duke, a team that is very good and can be a national championship contender.
We lost her.
She's still on air here. Caroline, you still there? Might have lost her here, but we're going to take a short break here on Tiger Rag Radio, and we're going to bring Caroline right back here at the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
We're back here on Tiger Rag Radio at the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, and luckily we have Caroline Fenton back. We lost you for a second. It was a technical difficulty, and it was, of course, our error. We apologize, Caroline. Thanks for sticking with us. I was kind of afraid you might have gone Christmas shopping and left us at the altar, but it appears it was all our fault. So I'm glad you're back.
I would never leave you at the altar. And trust me, shopping on December 23rd sounds like my own personal form of a nightmare, my own personal hell. I am the kind of Christmas shopper. I get it all done online. Early December, late November, love a Black Friday deal. I'll even shop throughout the year. I'll pick up some Christmas goodies in July and August just to get it done so I can just enjoy the holiday season and have all of my shopping over with. So I'm not a December 23rd or 24th shopper.
Well, that's good because it sounds like you're very organized and you plan things.
I don't know about that.
Well, it sounds like you plan.
I'm just an impulse buyer.
Yeah, but you plan things out and you know what you want to buy for whom and when and why. Am I right? I mean, and that's what you pretty much just described there to me.
Oh, yeah. I love to give gifts. That is my personal form of a love language. Giving gifts, giving thoughtful gifts, giving gifts that I know people will want to use. So I definitely like to think about it throughout the year to make sure I'm, jerk a few tears on Christmas morning or make people jump up and down excited about the gift that they're going to get on Christmas morning. So it's definitely one of my favorite times of year, no doubt.
You make it sound so exciting. And it's like the real spirit of the holiday and what Christmas is supposed to be about. So with that said, pretend like you are here in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Christmas Eve, and there's a gathering at, let's say, the South Stadium Club. And it's filled with personalities and coaches and administrators from LSU. And, of course, since you're so prepared, you've put your gifts together for them. But I'm sure before you did that, you sort of segmented them into a naughty list or a nice list. Who might be on your naughty list from LSU this year?
Ooh, that's a great question. I love this. Naughty list? I'll start with Matt McMahon. We need Matt McMahon to start proving a little bit more. We need Matt McMahon to maybe put this money where his mouth is a little bit. So what I'm going to do for Matt McMahon this year, if I could give it, I absolutely would. Obviously, I can't. But I would give a bid to the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournament berth for Matt McMahon, because I think that is what is going to save his job. That's what I think the bare minimum for Matt McMahon and the LSU men's basketball program is this year. So he's on my naughty list until he's not. You can prove yourself, you can prove me wrong and take yourself off of the naughty list whenever you take care of business. I will give Matt McMahon a berth to the NCAA tournament.
Well, he will love you for that. He will love you for that.
I know he would. Wouldn't they all?
Yeah. Is there anyone else on your naughty list? Like maybe, Brian Kelly? I doubt he would be there, but perhaps he would be for some reason.
Make the list because he's not invited. He's not coming to my Christmas party. He's not invited to Christmas morning. He can be with his family.
His family. Okay. All right. Well, who's on your nice list?
I'll add Kendall Kelly to the naughty list as well for his senior night antics.
That was horrible, wasn't it? I just thought that
was
very
so cringe. Okay. It was so bad.
Okay, so they're out. They're not going to be invited. Sounds like you don't have anybody else on your naughty list.
It's a short naughty list this year. Ryan Kelly is, if he does have to be invited, if I do have to get him a gift, let's see, I maybe just get him a nice cup of New England clam chowder, you know, or maybe even perhaps a Michigan T-shirt. Maybe that's where he's headed.
Yeah, I think that's what we all hope.
Ann Arbor.
I think that's all what we hope is happening for Mr. Brian Kelly, that he is headed.
Yeah, Sharon Michigan. Moore would be on my naughty list as well. Obviously, no LSU ties, but. He's on my and maybe very many other naughty lists.
All right, nice list. Really quick, we're running out of time. So nice list and gifts.
Jay Johnson's at the top of the nice list. And what Jay Johnson gets from me for Christmas is a trophy case. He's going to need a much, much bigger one. He's absolutely at the top of the nice list, fresh off of the national championship game. Lane Kiffin's on the nice list, but he hasn't done anything to be off the nice list. He could be on the naughty list. We will follow up with this next year, depending on how year one goes. But Lane Kiffin, home run higher nice list, and Kim Mulkey as well, like we talked about in the last segment. She's got that team rolling, and I'm ready to see what they look like in conference play once they get some tougher opponents on their schedule.
Okay, I doubt Angel Reese would be at this year's party because she's going to be busy preparing for the WNBA season. But would she be on your naughty nice list?
She is on my nice list. I know she's on a lot of people's naughty list, but I love Angel Reese. I love the kind of drama and intrigue that she's brought to the WNBA. And she's been a great proponent for women's basketball. So she is at the top of my nice list, right next to Kim Mulkey. They both get sparkly sweaters for Christmas.
Well, I hope you have a great Christmas, you and your family, and we look forward to talking to you very soon into the new year. And let's see how Lane Kiffin does in the portal. And we'll get back with you and see how he's progressing.
Hey, that might as well be his name as Lane Portal. But thank you all so much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to all of you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Caroline.
I'm Richard Funtenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hello, welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio, Christmas edition. I want to thank Caroline Fenton for a great guest appearance with Todd Horn there. Interesting naughty and nice list there.
Yeah.
That was funny.
The main person on her naughty list was Matt McMahon.
Well, she put a little pressure on Matt. I'm sure Matt understands that. So far, so good. But it got scary last night against Prairie View. LSU was down at halftime and came back and won 104-90. But their defense did not play very well. We're now joined by Toy Lloyd. T.J. Brown covers LSU basketball and Southern football for the Baton Rouge Advocate. T.J., Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Hey, were you thinking there as the second half started that LSU might lose that game last night?
Yeah, I read my story during the game, my game story, so I have to have like a winning version as well as a losing version if it gets a little bit dicey, and I had a losing version prepared for it. I had some concerns that they was going to have a big upset here, which would have been I don't want to say disaster. That might be a little harsh, but it would have been very, very bad if that's a step under disaster, at least in the non-con. It was worrisome. The three-point shooting, all props to Prairie View. They went 10 of 13 from the three-point line, which is hard to do if you're wide open in a gym by yourself amongst like your team. So to do that in a real game action, highly impressive shot making. But yeah, no, LSU, they probably shouldn't be down as many as 10 points to a team like Prairie View when your SEC schedule kicks off in January.
So, Torla, this is Todd. This is Todd. To your point about Prairie View and LSU shouldn't be down to them, and I know they were hot, and Matt gave them a lot of credit, or all the credit, for shooting the way they did and talking about how it was going to make NBA clips, scouting clips for them all, and, you know, be a highlight reel for the ages. But how responsible is LSU's defense or lack thereof for allowing that to happen?
Yeah, no, it's definitely twofold. You can give credit to the opposing team. They have to make the shots, but also as a higher-level program with talent, with size, with experience, you should be able to have the personnel to make a team that's at a mid-major not go off from three so much so you're down at halftime and down as many as 10. So I think LSU's defense definitely has to improve, because it's not the first time where a team got red hot from three. The last time that it truly happened was against Texas Tech, which obviously is a ranked team where that's a bit more understandable how that can be difficult. And that was like the fifth game away from home in a row. So there's some stuff there. But the defense definitely has to improve, especially in the perimeter. It's no mistake that LSU has a lot more size, especially on the interior. They play a 6'10 center that's 260, a 6'9 small forward, a really active 6'7 power forward. They have another 6'10 big man off the bench in Robert Miller. So they definitely have the size taken care of in the interior, but on the perimeter, we have our point guard, or LSU has their point guard in DJ Thomas, and their two guard in 6'6" Max McKinnon, who has size but isn't as athletic. So with players that are either not as athletic or smaller, in the case of DJ Thomas, who's 6'1", you may have issues on that front when it comes to guarding really closely on the perimeter. So it's a mixture of personnel as well as just the scheme that LSU's defense is very switch-heavy, and it's not one that's going to hedge on ball screens. They're not going to put a lot of on-ball pressure on ball handlers because they want to ensure that, okay, we'll let you dribble by us, and we have our big men up to, in, at the rim to protect the rim. So maybe they need to adjust a little bit of the scheme as well as maybe push players to be a bit more assertive in terms of pressuring on the ball.
So what's your overall impression? They only have one more pre-SEC game, and that's against Southern Miss, who's not been playing badly. They almost beat South Carolina the other night. I think they were up by 10 at one point, and then they went into overtime and lost at South Carolina. And then I think they almost beat Ole Miss, and I think it was on a neutral court. So they're obviously not a bad team. But does LSU have time to correct their defense before they get to the SEC? And will that Southern Miss game be helpful in doing that?
Yeah, no, I think the Southern Miss game, that's what you want to do. You want to obviously get the W, get the win like they did against Prairie View, but you also want to either experiment or do things that help you down the line. And the big thing that they want to improve on is that perimeter defense. So that looks like the biggest weakness, at least team-wide, that they have. Southern Miss is more talented. I'm not an expert on their team. I haven't done my full deep dive, but they're more talented, it looks like, based off the analytics and how they played against tough teams. They're more talented than Prairie View. So LSU, they can't overlook them. I don't think they would, especially after the game they had yesterday against Prairie View. And I wouldn't be surprised, because McMahon, he's a coach that is very willing to ride with whoever's producing. If you're not making mistakes and you're impacting the game, he's going to let you have more minutes than you would normally if you're coming off the bench. The last game, it was the backup point guard in Jalen Reese as well as Rashad King. Those two backup guards were getting increased minutes. Jalen Reese, the backup point guard, played with DJ, and both of them are both 6 feet tall about. And yeah, it worked out because Jalen Reese just was a bit better on defense than it was for the other options that, that McMahon was playing. The same with Rashad King. I think he had 3 blocks, and he's a 6'6" guard / wing. So I think that's another deal that you should look out for against Southern Miss, is just who he runs with that's given the results on offense as well as defense.
Are we putting a little bit too much lipstick on a pig, or is this LSU team actually, I mean, right now, if you look at, if there was an NCAA tournament selection right now, based on where LSU is ranked in the net, I think 34th today, they would be in the tournament.
41 right now. But.
Or 41. Okay. So they would still probably be in the tournament at 41 with a net ranking of 41. But let's say that they do beat Southern Miss. They'll go into the SEC at 12-1. Do they have what it takes to pull off 8, 9, 10 wins in the SEC this year and compete for a tournament?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. That's the question that everyone cares about, because the SEC conference play is when stuff gets actually real and we see what type of team this team is. And I'm not going to lie, the non-conference was one of the weaker ones amongst the conference opponents that they'll face. They had really two major challenges. One was Texas Tech, where they lost by 24. The other, right afterwards, was SMU, where they won by 12. That was a semi-home game in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. So this was not a very competitive schedule in comparison to, like, the Alabamas, who plays, like, the most competitive, and Florida, and Kentucky plays competitive schedules. Even not that Vanderbilt played a super competitive schedule, but I think Vanderbilt played at least 4 power conference teams, where LSU really played 2, plus DePaul, who's in the Big East. So to answer your question, I think this team is better when you have a point guard, which LSU does, and you have a lot of, I guess, the bigs to get rebounds, to be reliable, not just one, but you have really 3 to 4. You always have a chance to win, and I think this team has way better chances of winning close games and keeping games close, honestly, compared to last year, where they didn't have great point guard play and they lacked the size to get rebounds. And those two things are actually strengths. I'm not going to say they're an excellent rebounding team, but they're not going to get destroyed on the glass. They'll also battle back and get offensive rebounds themselves and get defensive boards. And the point guard play, that's their best player, in my opinion, and Dedon Thomas, where he's leading SEC in assists. I think at 6.7, he's getting about 16 points per game. His three-point shot is the only weakness right now. It's really bad. I think he's sub 30%, which you hope does go up, because if he's not able to be a quality shooter, then defenders will go under on ball screens.
Okay.
But besides that, he's great.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks for joining us. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thank you very much, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, we'll be back with more Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio, coming down the home stretch here on this Christmas edition. Todd and I were just talking. This is Glenn Gilbo, Tiger Rag editor, with Todd Horn, executive editor, and Andre Champagne, our producer, writer, broadcaster. We were talking.
His name is Luke.
His name is Andre Luke Champagne. Talking to TJ Toyloy Brown from The Advocate. The net of LSU is 41 after that win, because Prairie View's net was 290. and their record is 5-7, but the NCAA sees them as 1-7, because 4 of those wins were not against real teams, I guess.
They were more like club teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing those games almost hurts you more than
they do. It really does. It does. They need to put that behind them, and Southern Miss is probably going to be much better. But if they can get that win, they'll be 12-1. Going in the SEC, then if they can just go 8-10, they should be right there, because they'll have 20 wins. And if they win 8 SEC games, that's going to be a handful of quad one wins, if not more.
Yeah. Let's see, and that's the other, you know, we had Matt on last week, and the fact that the SEC is not as dominant as they were last year across the board, they are down a little bit, even though he didn't want to say that, and almost refuted it. But he did admit there's nowhere to go after last year other than down. But the point is there's going to be less quad one games available because the bottom of the SEC will not be quad one if the trend continues like it is. So it's going to be a little bit tougher to make for an SEC team to make the NCAA tournament this year than it was last year.
Yeah, yeah, but it's going to be he's going to have a less chance of a lot of losses too.
Yeah, and that's because the team,
also like last year's team would probably have won maybe six games against this SEC, maybe.
Right.
You know, so you'd hope that this team could win eight or nine.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too excited here, but if they learn how to play good defense, they have as Toiloy TJ was saying, they have the interior size and skill set to be able to not get blown out and overpowered. There were so many games last year where they were in it, and then all of a sudden there was a stretch where they just got blown out because they were overpowered and out-physical. This LSU team is not going to be out-physicaled every night.
Yeah, and I think they got caught kind of playing lackadaisical defense against Prairie View. And you know, they knew they had a big Christmas break coming. But, you know, the early days of the SEC schedule is going to be very key. They open up Saturday, January 3rd at Texas A&M. Then they got South Carolina at home, you know, the worst team in the SEC last year. And they play South Carolina twice this year, you know, and they start off with more home games than road. So they're going to have a chance right off to kind of get above 500 in the SEC, which they never were last year.
And actually, I watched Texas A&M play SMU before LSU played SMU. And Texas A&M is not Texas A&M of last year. They're not that as good of a team as they were last year. And I think LSU matches up really well. Now, the fact that it's a road game obviously bodes in favor of A&M. But I think LSU can overcome. So to your point, while we were at break, if they can start out 2-0 with a win over Texas A&M and a win over South Carolina, then that would really help this team, boost this team as it moves forward.
Yeah, what I like about this team is they got a little bit of everything. You know, they got a great point guard or a very good point guard in DJ Thomas. And Max McKinnon is kind of an outside shooting specialist who can also rebound a little bit. Then you got Mike Nwoko, who's really playing much better at LSU than he did at Mississippi State. He's really a power force inside.
Offensively as well as rebounding.
And can shoot with either hand. And then Markell Sutton is a guy who can shoot the three, shoot from the outside, and yet he also rebounds really well. He's a versatile guy, you know. So
what do you think of Tomahawk?
And then Tomahawk, you know, I didn't think he was going to be as good as he is.
Okay, but that's not really his name. It's Pablo.
Pablo Tomba. And he has a nice little Tomahawk move, and he's a good rebounder, and he's good in transition. He can jump. You know, they got a lot of guys they can throw at you. So I think they're going to be able to win eight games, maybe nine. If they could win nine games, that would really be great.
You're talking about SEC games.
SEC games, yeah. That would be in good shape. It'd be fun to see them in the NCAA tournament. But we'll be back to wrap it up here on Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio, Christmas edition with Glenn Gilbo here, Tiger Rag editor, and Todd Horn, executive editor, and Andre Champagne, who is a radio broadcaster, a writer, and a producer, multiple great LSU graduate from the Manship School of journalism.
As am I.
As are you, Todd Horn.
As you are not.
As I am not. I went to Missouri. I wanted to expand my horizons. But I know a lot of people that went to LSU at that time. Great journalism school.
Yes, thank you very much.
And here we are live at the Super Chevy Dealer Studio wrapping up the show. And if you want to listen to this show in its entirety, you can listen to the podcast at your favorite place to listen to podcasts or YouTube. And shortly after the show ends, it will be on tigerrag.com.
It's actually going to be about an hour and a half after tonight.
Later tonight and early in the morning, you can get it on tigerrag.com. But I want to thank Chris Lowe for joining us and T.J. Toilo Brown for joining us about basketball and Caroline Fenton, who had some interesting things to say about her Christmas party. She's not inviting Brian Kelly. Were you surprised by that?
It's a fictitious Christmas party, and I think part of the reason, you know, vitriol. I sense some vitriol there. The reason is because LSU's having to play in the Texas Bowl this year when it was, you know, he's got the receipts for the national championship.
Which, that's right. Yeah. What happened to that? Yeah. He's at the third tier Texas Bowl. That is 8:15 p.m. Saturday on ESPN. LSU plays number 21 Houston, which is 9-3. LSU finished 7-5 with an offense that, according to a Twitter account, Lane Kiffin was watching the season finale between LSU and Oklahoma and said, "Who did this game plan?" Which is what LSU fans have been saying for most of the season. So we'll see how the new game plans come out next season. But I was just telling you guys earlier, this is the least anticipated, least talked about bowl game in LSU history. There's no question about it. I keep forgetting that they actually got a game Saturday.
And it's like, it's like a tale of 2 years, because last year it was a little exciting. I won't lie.
I don't know. It's still the Texas Bowl.
The Texas Bowl is the Texas Bowl at the end of the day, but then you had Garrett Nussmeier coming back, confirmed, and you had a lot of returns.
Well, I bet he wishes he could do that again.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, man. He's kind of disappeared. It's kind of,
I know. I mean, he gave his.
Oh, I see what you meant.
Yeah, I'm thinking he may have wished he would have gone pro last year. But, you know, he had the same situation when Kelly replaced Orgeron after the 21 season, and that bowl wasn't exactly much really anticipated. But it was early still in the NIL age, and now some of the bowls are just dying, particularly when you have a coaching change, because, you know, the coaches aren't going to coach in it. So, but, you know, I'm still going to watch it. I have to watch it. Got to write about it. But it is going to be interesting to see, you know, who they play. I mean, who they put on the offensive line. You know, Harlan Berry, I'm sure, will play. But just so you'll know, the LSU players who are definitely not playing.
Wait, is Harlan Berry going to play on the offensive line?
I'm wondering who is going to play on the offensive line and try to block for Harlan Berry. Maybe Harlan Berry shouldn't play, but the players definitely not playing in the bowl game are Garrett Nussmeier, Mansoor Delane, Whit Weeks, Harold Perkins, Aaron Anderson, Josh Thompson, Colin Hurley, Caleb Jackson, Jelani Watkins. They entered the portal. Kylan Billiott, Ashton Stamps, and Wallace Foster. Not sure on Jack Pyburn.
No, he's out.
And A.J. Halsey.
Who has not practiced all week.
Okay, so Pyburn and Halsey likely not to play. Chris Hilton is going to play, though. And then Cohen Echols, who just entered the portal, he may play. He's been practicing all week. And Carius Kern may also play in the game.
Yeah, I think Jock Doucet confirmed that Cohen Echols will play this weekend.
Why?
Well, he's been practicing all week, and maybe he wants to show himself to portal teams that could pick him, is what it is.
They're not going to be watching that game.
Sure they will. They can watch tape. They can watch tape. All right. Well, hey, Merry Christmas, everybody, and we'll be back next week on Tiger Rag Radio.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at tigerrag.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tiger Rag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.